are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So hope and encouragement are vital sources of strength for Christians as they wait on Christ's return. The anticipation can be marked with peril, trials, and a lot of turbulence. But trusting in the hope and encouragement that comes from God can arm Christians to face these as uncertain and tiring periods that characterize the modern world. So we are wrapping up our conversation about the second coming of Jesus Christ with my pastor, Pastor Munga. And today we are focusing on all things personal, faith, and hope, because there are a lot of trials and tribulations, men, that we are going through, and we're like, can he just come back so we can rest? But Jesus is still busy building mansions. Pastor Munga, good morning. How are you?
Yapi, Mama Unja.
Yapi, Lamfund is out. Can't you know how to greet? Ah, you see, me and you.
No, the next interview you have the whole week, I'll be speaking Zulu and so that I can shock you.
Please, let's do that. Let's do that. I will translate to those who can understand.
That can be great.
Thank you so much, Mpundisi. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Thank you. We call upon you, Lord, who is our Savior, our friend, and our King. Even as we have this conversation about the second coming, as we conclude our conversation, we invite you to may lead us even to the glory and honor of your name. Touch your maid servant, Sister Zanele, and the listeners, and even those who listen afterwards, may they come to know you better and have their faith rekindled, their hope refreshed. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, we are speaking about all things hope, faith, and everything, and Jesus coming back. We have established that indeed he is coming back. We have looked at quite a number of things, you know. So today we want to understand why hope is crucial for Christians as they anticipate the second coming of Jesus. Because, trials and tribulations are there, but if we have that hope, maybe that is coming back, you know, sometimes it gets easier. So why is it crucial for us to have hope?
Hope, Sister Zane and our listeners, is very crucial. To a Christian, hope, I liken hope to fuel for the car.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel keeps the car moving. So hope keeps us moving as a Christian. You are talking about pushing against the odds. Hope gives you the energy to climb the mountains of trials, challenges, hardships of life, and a lot of vices. So when we have this hope, like Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is the anchor of the soul. Mm-hmm. It is our hope. So this hope is our anchor, just like a ship. I think you are more conversant with the ships,
mm-hmm.
having near an ocean there. When you bring a ship to the shore there, it is held by an anchor.
Mm.
So the wind can be tossing it here and there. As long as the anchor is there, the ship will be maintained there.
Mm.
And this is what hope is, or how I can liken hope to.
Mm-hmm.
Or hope to be. We also have the same Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So it is this big picture that we have.
And
we have it in hope. Something better is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, trials are coming, challenges are coming, mountains of obstacles are there in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this hope that this will end.
Yeah.
So hope is our anchor. It's our fuel. It keeps us going.
So Mpundisi, you know, when there is this thing that I always say that, you know, when life throws you lemons, you know, make lemonade. And when life, as young people, we are saying it's showing us flames, you know, when life is showing us flames, which is fire, just cook a nice meal, you know. Cook a nice meal.
Exactly.
You know, so when we have hope, you know, how does it now help us when we are facing those trials and tribulations? Because, my pastor, I won't lie, there are certain times where we feel like, this is too much. Like, I can't anymore. Like, why am I facing these trials? Why am I going through this? You know, because it gets too much. But when you have that hope, I think there's something that happens in it. So what happens when we are going through that and we have this hope? Are we comforted? Are we like, okay, kuzolunga, everything is going to be okay, or something else happens? Then what happens, my pastor?
When we don't have hope, I read a certain story of a certain man who was in a certain building. Then the building collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
As they were ravaging to get this man, they found this man under a table.
Mm.
The man was unconscious. Mm. But when they got him out, checked him, when he resuscitated again the conscious, the man was found not to be hurt in any way or the other. There is nothing that touched him. What almost killed you, he says, I lost hope.
Eish.
I thought the building had fallen on me.
Mm.
So when you lose hope, you have lost everything.
Mm.
You can live without air. You can go underwater there.
Mm.
But you can't live without hope.
Yeah.
So hope keeps you or on the surface, if it's like those life jackets,
mm-hmm.
it keeps you afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And once we let go of hope, then you hear stories of drugs,
mm-hmm.
you hear stories of suicides. Someone said, no, let me just take my life. I think a few hours ago, of a young man who impregnated two girls,
mm-hmm.
and when he learned about it, he hanged himself.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? You're losing hope. That is, like, the whole world is against you,
mm-hmm.
and you give up.
Mm-hmm.
So hope is very crucial, and we need it, and we need it desperately,
mm-hmm.
and we must have it 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm having Bundiswam that, you know, you're saying that we must have that hope, because I'm thinking that whilst you're busy making that lemonade, you are making it adding sugar that it will taste better, you know.
Yes.
And when you are having hope, you're like, it's going to get better. It's going to get better, you know, as life goes on. But if you don't have this sugar, then it's going to be bitter and you're going, it's a lot. Okay, with my examples. So... So now, Bundiswami, how does biblical teachings, you know, on the second coming of Jesus provide assurance and hope for believers? Because we do know that he's coming back, but are we assured that we are going, or, you know, how does now the teachings give us that assurance?
My sister and my listeners, there's this writing which I got from somewhere.
Mm.
And it says, no matter what life throws at us,
mm-hmm.
we can remain unshakable if we have hope in God
mm.
and His way.
Mm.
Hope is the foundation of our faith. It gives us the strength
mm.
to keep going, even in difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be promised that everything will be perfect.
Yeah.
But if we stay positive and trust in Christ, we will see God's power at work. So work hard, pray often, and never lose hope. You will be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the promises of God, look at what He has promised. One, there's a reversal of activities.
Mm-hmm.
The reign of evil will end forever and ever.
Yeah.
This is our blessed hope.
Yes.
One day, crime will not be there. I'm a master's student. I'm doing my master's in psychology.
Mm.
And we were looking at one time forensic. That's something to do with criminology. Criminals in almost any society, they compose about 20% of the population.
Mm.
And this 20% is the one that makes that brings terror to the 80%.
Mm-hmm.
It is the one that provides employment for the police, for the soldiers, for the background, all the locking system that we have, the alarm. It is because of this 20% of criminals.
Hmm.
But one day, the activities will be reversed.
Mm.
There will be no more crime.
Hey.
There will be no more violence. There will be no more wars. There will be no more fear, lawlessness.
Mm.
I don't know if there's a part in South Africa where I say, wow, I think I can walk even in the midst of the night with my money in my hand, with my phone, and I know that no one will talk to me in one way or the other.
It's a dream, my pastor.
For sure, it's a dream.
Yeah.
if you can have a situation where a father rapes his biological daughter,
hey,
a father sleeps with an infant daughter, a daughter who is less than 5 years, then who is safe anywhere? Where, which place can one say it is safe? But things will be reversed. One day there will be an end to all this. And this is our hope. Things may appear to be ugly. And as the days are going, they for sure they look uglier. But there's a better day that is coming.
Yeah.
That will end everything. And this is our hope.
Yes. Yes, indeed, Mpundiswam. Pastor, I'm a I don't know the right word. I'll just use what I know.
No problem.
I'm a sucker for testimonies, you know. If when a person comes and say, I have a testimony, like I can even end the show. Just the mere fact that someone has testified, you know, of the goodness of God, because I believe that the more we testify of his goodness and his greatness, it's the more someone else gets encouraged. You know, when I come to you and I'm like, yo, pastor, you know, I've been struggling about this and we prayed and God was able to see me through it and now I'm okay. I believe that someone, you know, is going to get encouraged and they're going to have that hope again. So within our community of believers, as we're sharing these good stories and how, for example, Pastor Bunga, how your hope, the hope you have, has taken you through something. How does that now help us in holding on to the fact that Jesus is coming back? Because I know that, you know what, Pastor went through this and God saw him through. This one went through that and God saw him through. So the encouragement we get from other people, does it help us?
It does. For example, for sure, like we find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where they say, not forsaking the assembling of one another. Is the assembling together, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You find this phrase, one another, is very common, especially in the New Testament. Love one another, bear one another, forgive one another, meaning you cannot do away with another person. So I need you, you need me.
Yep.
When I hear your story, I was almost losing hope, but I hear a story that this Jesus can come through someone's life. I was at a certain church and we are promoting publishing.
Yes.
And having worked as a literature evangelist, I gave a brief example. I was working in a certain place in Kawe, in Lusaka, and this young man just came and bumped into me. He opened the bag and the wallet was gone. I didn't stop. As I was walking, I was praying with my eyes open and walking. It was 2 p.m. I said, Lord, I am on your mission.
Yep.
I've got an appointment at this time. And my wallet is gone. I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have is to go home and report to my family that when you and I were working, the wallet was stolen. That would be a shame to your name. So do something. And I walked. Just a few meters from there, this young man came running and panting and he was sweating. And he came with the wallet in his hand. Said, no, please, here's your wallet. And before I leave, you check that everything's there. I checked everything was there. And they said, no, please, I'm asking for money for water. I put something, I gave him there.
Yes.
And then I started laughing. At times, I just start laughing at the greatness of this God. So when you give that testimony, I am saying that in case there's someone who thinks God does not exist, he does. Who talked to that criminal?
Yep.
Who talked to that thief?
Yep.
Who talked to that robber that take the money to that person? And this person comes running. Who is that one? I call him Jesus.
Yep.
So when I hear a testimony from another person, it encourages me on the journey of faith that someone can come to my side. So like we mentioned on the other day that when we come together, we are like pieces of wood and there's fire there. The closer we are to each other, the more the flame go up. So no man is an island. I can't say, like you say in Zulu, say, I don't care.
Yes.
No. I have to care about what is going on around me. I'm responsible for you. I'm a brother's keeper. I'm a sister's keeper.
Yeah.
And that is keeps us going.
Yep. 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 And I'm happy. I'm happy, Mpundiswami, because hey, we need this community of believers, because you will be left alone. So looking at Mpundiswami, that there are a lot of things that we are doing as Christians. You know, others are listening to me and you, and they're getting this hope. Others are listening to podcasts. Others are listening to music. Others are reading books and everything else. But what practical actions can Christians take to maintain hope in the midst of chaos and uncertainty while waiting for Christ's return? Because Mpundiswami, even you pastors, you do say that when we are going through a lot, Bible verses, they disappear from our heads and our hearts because we are going through a lot, you know. So when we are going through that most, you know, what can people do? What can people do to sustain that blessed hope?
Thank you. For sure, we go through a lot, even as pastors. I'm just writing a book on how to handle burnout amongst the pastors.
Okay.
We are not not an exception.
Mm.
One thing that is very critical, one time we had a seminar and we were invited this man, and he mentioned something that I'll never forget. You talked about reading something, listening to something, and he said that if what you read does not lead you to action, then what you are reading is useless.
Hey.
If you read something and it is, does not lead you to do something, then you are reading something that is useless. You are better off to sleep at you. Maybe you could have dreamed of something better. So what am I saying? What you read, you implement it. Go ye therefore. That is our commission.
Yeah.
If I'm truly waiting for Jesus, I will talk about it.
Yep.
I will sing about it. I will write about it. I will shout about it. There was a song that was played, say, make noise for Jesus. Yes. I think I heard that. That make a noise for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Shout about it. And this is our blessed hope.
Yes.
Like we mentioned yesterday, hastening the second coming. I've used this in my life. It may sound to be funny. When I'm discouraged the most, then I ask myself, if I met someone who is discouraged like me, what would I tell that person?
Ew.
And then what I would do in those days is to get the Bible. I read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I said, if someone were to visit me, this is what I want that person to read to me in this state that I am. And what I would do to line up people, I go now door to door to visit people, to encourage them. Psalm 23. Meanwhile, I'm talking to this person, never to lose hope. In actual sense, I'm talking to myself. So they might talk to this person, they might talk to this person. At the end of the day, all that discouragement is gone. And I am revived. David would say in those, some of those Psalms says, my soul, why are you discouraged within me? Believe in the Lord. Sister Zanelli, the world is busy. At one time, there's no one who will give, who will come to comfort you.
True.
No one. And no one will give you a message, you know, those messages, those things that we send on WhatsApp. Today you send yourself, you are in this attire. Then, wow, awesome, great, gorgeous. At one time, people will not send those things to you. But you can send them to yourself.
Hey!
And I've done that.
Yes. I put this. You sent it to yourself.
Yes. Why not?
Yes.
I'm a handsome guy.
Yes, Wena.
Why should I wait for someone to tell me that I'm handsome, then I become happy? I can tell myself 100 times every day.
Yes. Yes.
So we need that. I'm made in the image of God. Talk about David who said, I'm wonderfully made. So what are we saying? We can pass through moments that are trying, moments that are challenging. Others are also passing through the same trials as moments. At times, those who are, you know, wonder when we are talking to people who are married, to tell if you are, if as a husband you are waiting for your wife to be to make you happy, you are going to live your whole life miserable. If as a wife you are waiting for your husband to make you happy, you are going to live a miserable life. You know the trials and challenges he has, or the trials and challenges she has.
Hey,
but we need to wait on the Lord. It is God to make me happy. for because of the promises that he has made.
Mm.
Not as human being to cheer me up. They may be there, yes, for a day or two, but you can't guarantee that.
Mm.
So our hope, like that song says, my hope is built.
Yep. 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 Hey, I like that from the song. Boy, today, ne? I'm going to call myself Fundis. Yes, I'm going to, Zanele, you look beautiful. I'm going to be telling myself the whole day today, Fundis. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that, you know, this self-appreciation and self-love is very much important because, yeah, you are right, Fundis. You know, they don't tell us, even when we have new hairstyles. Well, not my husband, he does say, but I'm just saying. He doesn't have a choice anyway. So, Mpundiswami, you know, as we wrap up the conversation, you know, so how can a Christian's joy and peace in anticipation of Christ's return motivate such a believer, Mpundiswami, to provide encouragement for others? Because sometimes we do have this encouragement. As Uzanele, I've been through the most and I've survived or I've made it through, but I don't have that encouragement to tell other people. I'm like, hey, it's my business. So I'm going to keep it quiet. But we do know that telling others sometimes it does help. So how can we be encouraged to share our testimonies, to share the goodness of God?
We can look at people who were in a very awkward situation, hard times, and how they responded. I'm looking at this one, Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Mm.
And the one who is writing, Paul, and he's writing from a Roman jail.
Mm.
He is in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
The hands are tight, the legs are tight, but he's telling you, and I rejoice. He's writing to the people who are outside, the people who are supposed to be sympathizing with him, the people who are supposed to be comforting him. He's writing, rejoice.
Mm.
And again, I say, rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoicing is more than laughing, is more than happy. It's that inside peace, that inside joy, that yes, I don't have food today, I don't have enough of this, but tomorrow will be better.
Mm.
He talk about the second point in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, going down, like, down there. Mm. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Mm.
The Bible records there says Paul was beaten, Silas was beaten, they are bleeding, they are put in the inside prison, we would say maybe Robin Hood Island. They are put there, and then these people who have been beaten, who are bleeding, at midnight, they started singing praises.
Mm.
And the people around the head, who had not been beaten. I wrote a sermon, please. I don't want to be tempted to go into that one. A sermon which says, what do you do at midnight?
Yeah.
When you are in the midnight of your life, when your marriage is passing through a midnight, what is your attitude? How do you respond?
Mm.
Paul responded by singing.
Yeah.
At the midnight of trials, at the midnight of beatings. So your attitude matters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My attitude, the way I respond to what is going on around me, it matters a lot. Paul had a living hope. Things will be better.
Mm.
And we need that hope, especially now.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm. Fundis, me and you, we have spoken a lot. We have heard, me myself, I won't lie, I have heard, and I believe that the listeners as well have heard. So I'm going to ask my pastor, if anyone were to listen just now, just today, what is it that they should take home in terms of the second coming of Jesus Christ overall? We do know that when it comes to the parables, we must stick to the 10 virgins and pay more attention to it and study it the most. But overall, what is our take home regarding the second coming of Jesus?
Thank you. I'll read what I had mentioned earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what life throws at you, we can remain unshakable if we have hope in God and His word.
Mm.
Hope is the foundation of our faith. It gives us the strength to keep going, even in difficult times.
Mm.
We can't be promised that everything will be perfect, but if we stay positive and trust in Christ, we will see God's power at work. Work hard, pray often, and never lose hope. You will be blessed. Thank you.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, please do close for us in prayer that through it all, we must keep it in our hearts that Jesus is coming back. Even if it looks like he's not, but we must keep it in our heart that he is coming back.
Thank you. Our Lord and our Savior, thank you very much. For your promises are sure, your promises are certain. One day, you will break the eastern sky. You will come to get the redeemed. You will come to get us. As far as we are concerned, by faith, we are already there. We can see you translating us, transforming us into immortality. Thank you for this hope, even the blessed hope that our Master is coming. As we wait, may your spirit keep the fire in each one of us burning. Mm. And Lord, that will tell our neighbors with excitement that we are going somewhere. May your spirit be our fuel in hard times, in trials. Strengthen us to hold on to the promises, even when they don't make sense from a human point of view. Bless your maid servant, Sister Zanel and her family, and the whole family at the Adventist World Radio. Bless our listeners as we prepare for the holy hours of the Sabbath. Lord, remind us we're one big family saved by grace through faith. Thank you that one day soon we'll meet and we'll never part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for being with us and coming through. I'm going to come to Zambia. I don't know when. So that chicken there, can I please have it for lunch?
You can come in this afternoon.
That chicken, like, I can have it for lunch with Sada. I don't mind. I'm just saying that chicken must, nourish.
No, actually, chickens. We just ask you how many do you want?
Okay. I'm going to come get them. Pastor Munga, thank you so much for coming through and joining us.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
You're most welcome.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.